Well, this morning we are in the seventh session on the subject of chapter 1 of our 1689 London Baptist Confession of the Holy Scriptures. Let me read you the first paragraph of chapter 1. The Holy Scripture is the only sufficient, certain, and infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men inexcusable, yet are they not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and His will which is necessary unto salvation. Therefore it pleased the Lord at sundry times and in diverse manners to reveal Himself and to declare that His will unto His church, and afterward for the better preserving and propagating of the truth, and for the more sure establishment and comfort of the church against the corruption of the flesh and the malice of Satan and of the world, to commit the same wholly unto writing, which makes the Holy Scriptures to be most necessary, those former ways of God revealing His will unto His people, now being seized. Now today we want to take up where we left off last week, speaking about this proposition of truth. That is, that God, in preserving the truth in the Scriptures, establishes and comforts Christ's church against the corruption of the flesh and the malice of Satan and of the world. And so we saw last week that first of all, the Scriptures are designed by God to be a great means of comfort to them as they abide in them and meditate upon them day by day. I opened up for you Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I set before you the truth that all of the Old Testament Scriptures were written for our learning, that is our instruction, and they were written for this particular purpose, the Apostle Paul says, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now I think that when it says through the patience of the Scriptures that we might have hope, that is the patience that the Lord is teaching us as Christians through the truth of the Scriptures, we become more patient people through the Scriptures which instruct us, and God shows us perfect patience through the Scriptures and comfort through the Scriptures, so that we might understand that being a Christian is a learning process. Being a disciple is a learning process. And so it requires patience on God's part and patience being built into your life as well. That you would learn that the Christian life is something that you have to go back to the Bible and the truth of the Word over and over again, so that you might grow in respect to salvation and learn the things that God would have you to learn from the Scriptures, and then that you might be comforted in times of difficulty and persecution, in times when things aren't going well for you, that you would be learning even at those times. I also shared with you Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These words were given by God through Moses and to Joshua, who would take over the leadership of the nation of Israel, and he was being exhorted here to not let the book of the law, the written scriptures that he had and been given to him and placed in the ark, that he would not let these words in the book of the law depart from his mouth, but that he would meditate in it day and night so that he would observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then he would make his way prosperous. But these verses can be applied to us just as surely as they can be applied to Joshua, that we should not let the scriptures depart from our mouth. That is, that we should be speaking them to ourselves, speaking them to our children, that they would be upon our lips and not merely in our heart, that we would be instructing ourselves and instructing others by the truth of the scriptures and according to the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life, that we would be given grace to meditate upon the Word of God, for it's not just simply memorization that God's looking for, but it's meditation that he's looking for. He's looking for you to digest the truth of the Word of God and then be strengthened, built up, and comforted by it, impelled onward to a greater obedience to God and faithfulness to God according to the truth day and night. It says here that we might observe to do according to all that is written in it, not just certain parts that seem to us to be pleasant, or certain parts that seem to be something that we can easily do, but even those more difficult parts that are hard for us to receive, because they show us how much we need to change in our life in order to be able to keep God's commandments. What is wonderful about these verses is that if we participate in this process of meditating upon the scriptures day and night, it says here that we're going to make our way prosperous. That is, spiritually prosperous. And we're going to have good success. That is, good spiritual success, the kind of success in God's sight that he is looking for from our lives, that he will approve of the things that we are doing, that he will be well pleased with us, even as he was perfectly well pleased with his own dear son when he walked upon the earth here. What we have to remember is that success is becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus. That's good success. And being prosperous is being a rich man in the grace of Christ. The riches of Christ are ours by faith in him. Yes, they are. But we can't receive that grace and all those riches in vain. We have to be able to learn to share that with others as well, like those leprous men in the book of 2 Kings, who, when there was a great famine, that they came upon the camp of the Syrians who had fled. When they heard the sound of what they thought was the noise of battle and the Israelites coming against them, they fled from their camp and left all of their cooking and their utensils and their tents and weapons and everything, and they just ran for their lives. Left all that stuff there, and these fellows come upon it. And they're enjoying themselves with all the booty and the spoils that they have. And they said, you know, it's not a good thing that we are enjoying all these things and we remain silent about this. We need to go into town, and we need to go into Jerusalem, and we need to go to our brethren, and we need to tell them of these great riches that are here. Well, that's the kind of thing that we need to understand in terms of having good success and being prosperous. We have all these riches in the scriptures. We have all this truth that we are learning, that we are sitting on, that we are receiving, that we have in our hearts and minds. And we don't do right if we don't share it with other people around us. So we need to understand that that's what God would have us to do. Well, that's what I tried to show you last Sunday, but today I want to show you that the Scriptures comfort and encourage the people of God in regard to salvation and patience. And I want you to turn with me over to Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 9. The prophet is told by God, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Well, how does the prophet Isaiah comfort the people of God? He speaks comfort to them through the word of God, which was delivered to him, which is inscripturated for us now in this Old Testament book of the Scriptures. He was to proclaim and to cry out to Jerusalem that her warfare was ended, that is, Israel's trying to fight their battles in their own strength, according to their own wisdom. That strategy had brought them into captivity, literally. They were in a bondage, having fought their battles in an unwise way, not having followed God faithfully or in a wise way. They had come into captivity for their sins. But you see here that God, according to his sovereign grace at the right time, was going to show the elect remnant among them mercy. And he was going to instruct Isaiah to comfort them, which, by the way, is something very important for God's preachers to learn how to do, and that is to comfort the Lord's people in the right way, at the right time, and to show them what Christ has done for them. And that's what's happening here in this section of the Old Testament Scriptures. Isaiah was to speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare had ended, that her iniquity was pardoned, and she had received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. He's speaking nationally. He's speaking to the nation. He's speaking to Zion. He's speaking to them prophetically of the basis upon which all those who believed in the nation would receive forgiveness of their sins, and what is called here, double for all her sins. And then in verse 3, I'll open this up just a little bit more in a minute, but I wanted to show you the connection between this and this very important piece of prophecy in verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Who's that talking about? Well, you know, if you've read the Gospels, that it's talking about John the Baptist as being the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord Jesus and his ministry, prepare the way for his coming. And in other words, they were to make straight in the desert. They were to make their own way. These sinners in Jerusalem were to make straight in the desert, that is the desert of sinfulness. The desert's a picture of the wilderness of sin, the highway for our God, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's made a highway for our God, and every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. And all, in other words, all of the things that are low and valleys in the experience of sinful people due to their sins shall be brought up and exalted, and the crooked places made straight in their lives. On the larger level of God's kingdom, it is that every valley shall be exalted, those who are humble and even those nations who by repentance come to be humble shall find forgiveness of their sins as a nation. And the crooked places would be made straight, and the rough places smooth, and the glory of the Lord would be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That is, the nation that would serve God would be blessed by God with the salvation of Christ. Now we see a real comparison here between what Christ would do by his grace and what man is like by nature. All flesh is grass, in verse 6b, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. That's what happens because of sin. When we get old, we wither. The grass withers and the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows on it. And that's the reason why all of us die, because of Adam's sin. Adam passed on his sin from the Garden of Eden to every man down through, except for our Lord Jesus Christ. Every man down through time has received Adam's nature, and as a result of that, they die. And then we fade when we get old. Our loveliness is like the flower of the field, and we wither and fade. And the breath of the Lord blows upon us, and we come to see ourselves like that, as grass, fading and withering. But what is it that stands forever, it says in 8b? It's the word of our Lord which stands forever. And how we can glory in that truth, that God's word, the scriptures, stand forever. It's just a wonderful and incredible thing. And so we need to learn to receive the salvation of the Lord in all of its details, receiving from the Lord's hand double for all of our sins. We are to listen to the voice of the gospel. Isaiah was prophetically describing for us here in his ministry, standing literally in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming the glory of Christ and the need of all people to repent of their sins and believe in the gospel. But there's a metaphorical and spiritual application which is appropriate here as well. Christ was going to come. He was going to make straight in the desert the barren and sinful waste places of men's hearts, a highway for our God. That is, a way of salvation for sinful, fallen men, so that they might come to God by faith in Jesus Christ, so that they might receive from the Lord's hand justification, a double debt-paying ransom for all of their sins. That is, that the redemption of Christ would render unto God that which Christ would render unto God would not only be his fulfilling all righteousness in the place of those who would believe in him, but it would also be his suffering in the place of all the sinners who would trust in him, so that they would receive a full pardon for all of their sins and forgiveness of all of their sins on the basis of his perfect and finished work of righteousness and sufferings on their behalf. Yeah, there it is. They receive double for all of their sins. They receive a righteousness better than their own because Christ has fulfilled the law. And when they believe in him, that righteousness is imputed to them. It's charged to their legal account, their legal standing in the sight of God, so that they are seen by God as perfect and complete and acceptable in his sight. And then for all of those sins that they committed against God and against other people, they receive the forgiveness of their sins because Christ suffered in their place on the cross and bore their sins in his body on the cross, so that they might, as Peter says, die to sin and live to righteousness. Wow, that's really something, isn't it? Double for all of their sins. They deserve judgment, and yet they received mercy, and even in this case, comfort, that their warfare, their fighting against God and his purpose in their lives would end, and their iniquity would be pardoned because they believed in the one who was going to come, the Lord Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist was preparing the way for him. But how good it is to realize that even though we are like grass and our flesh is withering, that nevertheless, the good word of God, in the good word of God, we receive good tidings, good news, so that we get up into the high mountain of Jerusalem, into the New Testament church. That's how we apply that to ourselves in these times when Christ has fulfilled the law. And the people of the nation of Israel are all brought into the church when they are saved, when they believe in the Lord Jesus. They believe the good tidings too, because the gospel is supposed to come to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. And Christ has broken down the barrier between Jew and Gentile and have made them one people in himself. So we have good tidings to share with other people. And we lift up our voice with strength. And we lift it up and we're not afraid. And we say to the cities of Judah, "Behold your God." Well, that's what Isaiah was to say to them then. And that's what we are to say to the church today and to all sinful people, that there is a salvation in Christ, which is good tidings for you. And the great mountain is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, not only do we see this in Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 9, but we also see patience being communicated to the people of God by God himself. Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God'? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. And even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Well, sometimes a saint, when they are suffering for righteousness, a believer in Jesus, they may be fainting. And they may be thinking that God is not listening to their prayers and their just claim, their having done what is right in his sight, is being passed over by God. God's not taking notice. And they're too weak to continue to hold fast the truth, they think. They're growing faint in terms of their being able to do righteousness, they think. But each of us needs to remember that God does not grow faint nor weary. His understanding is unsearchable and infinite. He is faithful, and based upon the promises of His Word, He will act to uphold His people and renew their strength as they wait upon Him. You see, your way, dear Christian, is not hidden from the Lord. And God is a God of perfect righteousness, and whatever just claim that you might think that you have upon God because of your doing the right thing in the various situations of your life, and yet you think that God has passed by it, and God does not see it, and He does not know about it. That's why the prophet speaks in this incredibly confrontative way. Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He doesn't faint or grow weary, even if we do. And His understanding is unsearchable because He gives power to the weak, that is, those who are trusting in Him. He gives them spiritual power. He increases their spiritual strength so that they are able to stand when they seek Him, when they look to Him in faith, when they, as it says here in verse 31, wait upon the Lord. That's patience. That's patience. And you see, that patience comes through the Scriptures. When we meditate upon the promises of God, such as these promises that I've just read to you, those who wait on the Lord, in other words, you wait on Him in accordance with the promises of His Word, you shall renew your strength, the strength of your inner man, which is renewed day by day by the Lord, so that you can mount up, as it were, with wings like an eagle and rise up into the high places of the Lord's granting you His blessings, that even when you are weak, you can be strong and glory in all of your weakness because you realize the strength of Christ to you. Psalm 119, verses 81 and 82, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, and yet I do not forget your statutes." You see how precious these verses are. Your soul is fainting for God to come and help you, but you are hoping in His Word. Your eyes are failing from searching God's Word, and you ask Him in prayer, "When will you come and comfort me? I feel like I'm a wineskin in the smoke. I'm withering up. I feel dry and coughing and in agony over all the things I'm experiencing in my life. And yet I do not forget your statutes." That is, the things that you've plainly declared are true in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, and those things which are written down for our instruction. This is particularly applicable to those times when a Christian is under satanic attack and when they are feeling the strength of their indwelling, remaining corruption and the overwhelming pull of the world. The soul faints for deliverance from the oppression of these enemies and longs to be confronted by the Lord's presence and power coming to them to give them power and renewed life. So there must be this holding fast to the statutes of God's Word, a hoping in God's Word, a searching until our eyes fail, a looking for the comfort of the Lord by His grace to sustain us, so that we might understand the strength of our God in ministering to us through the Scriptures. Well, let's pray together. We thank You, Father, for this time around the Scriptures, this time around Your Word, where we can gather with You, where You can work in our hearts when we hear the Word spoken and shared and preached to us. We can receive these good truths to ourselves and benefit by them by learning to wait upon You, and waiting upon You by immersing ourselves in the truth of Your promises and Your statutes, Your commandments, and all the precepts that You give to us, all the principles of truth which are applicable to our lives and which we will benefit from if we will abide in Your Word and think upon these things and believe them in our heart and then live them out in our lives. Be gracious to us this morning, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.